This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Thursday to you. Just a couple of more days to Championship Sunday. Yesterday, just as we were finishing up the show, we got the news that Philip Rivers was going to retire after 17 years in the NFL. And it kind of immediately jumped into his legacy. Is it complex? And what about his Hall of Fame potential? It's one of those situations whenever an athlete who's had a long career and a very good career, but there are some missing pieces to the career, retires, we immediately jump into the Hall of Fame debate. And there are guys who retire that you know will get into the Hall of Fame the second they're eligible. And then there are ones who retire that have no chance of being enshrined in whatever Hall of Fame they have for their particular sport. But then there's this middle ground. There's these athletes that retire where there's a natural debate. There are some aspects of their career that are Hall of Fame worthy, and then there's some aspects of their career that is missing, and the career is not as complete. It's one of the reasons I'm very glad that we wait 5 years to get the vote for the Hall of Fame. And I think that even if you have a player like a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady or a Joe Montana or anybody else that should go to the Hall of Fame the second they retire, I'm glad it's good across the board that we don't do that. Because we do need to have a conversation. And sometimes, like a fine wine where you pop it open and just let it breathe, you need to let somebody's career breathe. Some you don't need to, but a lot of the players that we talk about this debate, we do. And I think with Philip Rivers, over time, we are going to start sensing his career may have been better than we initially thought it from the retirement. The non-Super Bowl appearance hurts, but overall, think about 17 years playing in this league at the level that he played. We're going to get to that in the show today. We'll also keep up with the Patrick Mahomes watch. Practiced on Wednesday, still not cleared, but he wasn't going to be cleared anyway. But Buffalo comes in with a defense that played very good against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. What kind of Mahomes would be available for the Chiefs if he's cleared, but not 100%? We'll dive into that. And Tom Brady, one win away from going to his 10th Super Bowl, has played his offseason brilliantly. We'll talk about that this hour as well. Plus, it is a throwback Thursday, and you never know what we have on tap. So stick around. It is Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. One, two,
it's a throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
No, we're not interviewing Javon Kearse, but we are going to 1979 on a throwback Thursday. Le Freak. On this date, the Steelers beat the Cowboys in Super Bowl 13, 35-31. They won their third Super Bowl. They would later win their fourth a year later when they beat the Rams in Pasadena. But this was one of the... I don't want to say highlight of the Steeler-Cowboy rivalry of the 70s, but it was, you know, certainly up there.
Well, it all depends on which side you're on, right?
That's right. I mean, exactly. I don't want to kind of make it one-sided as a Steeler fan. You know, when I was my brother and I are a year apart. We were both influenced by late 70s as we were kind of growing up and learning about football. And I think this is one of the reasons this game, and I think the prominence of these two organizations, led us to be fans of the teams that we are. I'm a Steeler fan, and my brother became a Cowboys fan. And this, while we were a little young for this one, and we had to wait until Super Bowl 30 to really have the Steeler Cowboy clash. It's funny because this rivalry was so heavy in the 70s. They had played in two Super Bowls. They had met in Super Bowl 10 and in Super Bowl 13. And it is a rivalry that continues to this day, although there's not a lot of steam behind it, right? I mean, they only play once every 4 years. It's definitely not on the same level of excellence as it was in the 70s. And yet it's still there. Old Steeler fans still hate the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys don't do anything to them. And Cowboy fans hate the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though it's not even close to the same level of dominance that they had in the league back then. But Terry Bradshaw is the game's MVP, and this is one of the Super Bowls that is remembered on the Cowboy side as Jackie Smith dropping a touchdown pass was right on his numbers in the end zone from Roger Staubach. So we'll go back in 1979 on Throwback Thursday. So Patrick Mahomes practiced lightly yesterday. That was expected. That is not an advancement of the protocol. That is actually part of the protocol. So he's not cleared. Don't expect any clearance. It's still a five-step process. It's weird because, again, as I've been saying all week, you learn more and more about the concussion protocol because of the spotlight that's on it now because of the AFC Championship game and all of the attention on the league's best player. But the reality is that a lot of people don't know that, and so they just are waiting for the moment where he's cleared, not knowing it's probably going to be at the end of the week when the announcement is made, because they're going to go through every single thing to make sure he's ready. But it still begs the question, if Mahomes is cleared, what percentage of him is going to be ready for this game? Not from a prepared statement. He's going to be ready to be, he's going to be prepared for the game. But I mean, is he going to have any lingering effects where it's okay to play, but he's not 100%? I think with concussions, it's kind of iffy. And the Bills, like I was saying yesterday, play so good, such good defense right now where their offense has not been putting up the 30 plus points a game that they were averaging during the regular season. This could be an opportunity for Buffalo, even with Mahomes playing, where they could go to Arrowhead and get a win and go to the Super Bowl. I still think it's going to be a tough hill to climb for the Bills. I just, when the Chiefs are on, and they're usually on, they're just unbeatable. I mean, they just are. I mean, this season, they lost two games, and one of them was a throwaway at the end of the year when nobody played. The other one was just sort of, you know, you lose one every now and then. But other than that, no one has been able to dial up the right defensive set or the offensive performance that can match what Kansas City does. Now, I think in this game, if you're Buffalo, one of the things about Buffalo's defense that they blitz a lot. They do. They have a strong defense, a defensive-minded head coach, and they've got some players that can blitz, but they haven't been as effective with the blitz, and other teams have been able to sort of beat it. And Mahomes is brilliant against the blitz, and if that's really their weapon, then I just can't see the Bills winning. But there's something about Josh Allen that if that offense clicks, if they find something, if Stephon Diggs and Allen are on the same page and they're moving the ball, this could be kind of a fun shootout. Of course, all of this is thrown out if Chad Henning's playing, because I have no idea what Andy Reid would do with him. But it could be in that line. I'm looking for different angles in this game. And the reason that I am is simply this. When the Patriots were dominating the AFC for 20 years, anything that came along, right? Whether it was the Broncos and Peyton Manning having a great offense and then later a good defense, the Steelers with the Killer Bees with Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, whatever came about in the last decade or so, right? It was, you always had to say, no matter what team it was, you always had to say, yeah, but there's New England. Right, whenever somebody caught lightning in a bottle or somebody was producing something pretty special in the AFC, we just went right to the, yeah, but can they beat New England? Because that was the gold standard. And Kansas City came along, and in that first year under Mahomes, where they had the Patriots on the ropes, Dee Ford goes off sides, and the Patriots end up winning the game in overtime, go to the Super Bowl, and then the next year the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. We just gave them that mantle. We just handed it right to them. We did not say when the divorce between Belichick and Brady occurred, oh, well, it's wide open now. No, we already saw a team being built that was on the verge of dominance in a league where it's really, really hard to do that. And we just sort of, here you go, Kansas City, now you become the team that everybody else is judged upon. And that's why, looking at this AFC title game, if you pulled back the high expectations that we have for Kansas City, if we pull back the, well, this is the third straight year they've hosted this game, they actually have the AFC mantle right now, this could be something you could dissect and go, look, here's what the Bills do well, here's what the Chiefs do well, here's what the Bills do defensively, here's what the Chiefs do defensively. Oh man, we might see two similar teams. Both throw the football really well. Both are in the top three in that category. Both put up a lot of points in this game, and both have defenses that aren't dominating but still very, very effective. But we can't do that because when Mahomes is 100%, there's that extra level that we just go to. We did it with Tom Brady for 20 years. And here's the flip side. We never really did that with anybody in the NFC. We had a period of time with the Seattle Seahawks were looking like they were going to be the new dynasty. They had beaten the Broncos in the Super Bowl in New York City and just throttled one of the best offensive teams we have ever seen in NFL history and took them to task, held them to 8 points. And yet, they never got there. The Malcolm Butler interception, never were the same after that. And we started looking, we looked at Seattle and said they could win 5-6 Super Bowls. Because we always do that with teams that are so impressive and look unstoppable. And yet, it never came to fruition. And the NFC doesn't matter if Drew Brees is playing in New Orleans, Aaron Rodgers is playing in Green Bay, even when Brett Favre was playing in Green Bay. We never had a team that we just went, well, the gold standard for this conference is this team. Everybody else is going to be judged against them. Seattle practically came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden we embraced them. We embraced Green Bay 10 years ago when Aaron Rodgers and that team got healthy, went on the road, won all of their games, and went to the Super Bowl and beat the Steelers. But we haven't seen anything like that. That we haven't seen a wide open AFC in a very long time. It has always been Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Are you good enough to beat them? It's great that you've got this great offensive trio, or your defense is outstanding, or you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, or you hired this coach. But are you good enough to beat the Patriots? And we immediately handed that right to Kansas City. And that's why when you look at this AFC championship game and you try to dissect it, I think it's hard for a lot of people to think that this game could be a thriller, could be even, could be matched up. If Patrick Mahomes is cleared, they're going to have a mental edge by everybody watching this. Now, I've been saying I'm on the Buffalo Bills train. I think the way they've played towards the end of the season made me believe that they were the best team in the AFC. Two games into this postseason, I'm wearing a little bit on them. I haven't seen the offensive firepower that I saw at the end of the season. It's tougher in the postseason. It's tighter in the postseason, but I haven't seen that. And now I'm waiting for the call on Mahomes. It is so key for everything, and we all know that. But even if Mahomes plays, how effective will he be coming off the concussion? Maybe he's 100%. They roll along. Think about what he was doing to Cleveland before the injury. What, he had 250 yards passing, 2 touchdowns? Just up and down the field, no problem. And if he's like that, it's going to be a long day for the Bills. And in the NFC, it's wide open. I'm sorry. I know Aaron Rodgers is having an MVP season. I know he did. 48 touchdowns. But because the status of dominance and the status of the expectation is not on Green Bay, you can see a 5 seed going to Lambeau and winning because the quarterback of that team is playing in his 14th conference championship.
Say that number again.
it's amazing. And is 1 win away from his 10th Super Bowl. When I was a kid, as a Steeler fan, and it's appropriate with Throwback Thursday, I remember the year later after, in 1980, the Steelers beat the Rams and Terry Bradshaw had 4 Super Bowl wins. Now remember, it's 14 Super Bowls, right? And Bradshaw already had 4. And I remember watching Joe Montana in the 80s, and I was really worried he was going to tie Terry Bradshaw, which he did. But I had no idea. Even as I got older and got wiser in this league, saw how this league really worked, saw the inner workings of how this league tries to get a lot more parity, try to allow fan bases to feel optimistic and not doomed for 15 years. I never thought I would see something like Brady. I never thought I'd see 6-9. I never, ever, ever, because I know how hard it is to go. If you grew up in the 80s, that Montana dominated, and yet Marino was the best quarterback and yet went to 1 and never saw the game again. Right? Fran Tarkenton, if you go back to the 70s, Fran Tarkenton went to 4 and never won 1. Right? It's hard. It's so difficult to get to that game. That's why when we talk about Philip Rivers in a bit, how much emphasis is going to be on his inability to get to the Super Bowl when we know it's hard to do. And yet we always say that it's hard to get to Super Bowl. It's hard to win championships. Marino never got one, went to one early in his career, never went back again. And we will casually say Tom Brady is getting ready to go to his 10th Super Bowl with a win on Sunday and just throw it out there without really the awe, because we are frogs in the water and it's slowly boiling when it comes to his career. If you just threw us in the pot of 10 Super Bowls, we'd be blown away. But we've had 20 years of this guy in our lives to a point where we just saw the temperature just slowly go up in the pot. Yeah, Brady in another Super Bowl. Brady in another championship game. Brady in another.
No, like I said yesterday, I don't know if I consider him the greatest quarterback of all time, and I don't know why I shouldn't.
It's
one of those weird things. He's honestly, obviously, the greatest postseason quarterback ever. I mean, without question, he has records like career postseason records that'll never be touched. It's like Wayne Gretzky stuff.
Exactly. But because you just can't get to that many games.
He could have had, 14 mediocre games in conference championships, and he'll own all the records, passing records for conference championship games, just because he's been there 14 times.
Exactly. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Brady's brilliance this offseason and how he got to this position where he's got the Buccaneers a win away from the Super Bowl. That's coming up. And we'll also process the Philip Rivers retirement after 17 seasons in the league. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, 1979. We go back on a Throwback Thursday as we continue with Wake Up Call.
The Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
1979 is where we go on a Throwback Thursday. Rod Stewart. It's Super Bowl 13 on this date. Steelers beating the Cowboys. By the way, your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking. Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people help you find those wiper blades that are right for your vehicle, and they'll even install them for free. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. There's a line in this song where he says, "We're out of milk and coffee, never mind sugar, let's watch the early movie." I don't know why I know that. It's not like I hear this song a lot, but somehow I remember those lines. Oh, by the way, real quick, before we get into more football, yesterday on Apple TV, I finally watched the Beastie Boys documentary that they did. I was so glad I did. Because you got me, yesterday you had me with No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Yeah. And I was kind of in a Beastie Boys mood yesterday. And then I remembered, my sister told me a while back, she goes, "You have Apple TV?" And I said, "No." And she goes, "Oh, they have a great Beastie Boys documentary you'd like." And I went, "Oh." And then I got Apple TV, and I totally forgot that that documentary was on Apple TV. And then yesterday I was perusing it, and I went, "Oh, that's what she told me about."
I got to jump into Apple TV a little bit more. There's a lot of content on that. I pretty much used Apple TV only to watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah, that's me too.
You know, there's a whole wealth of entertainment. I'm like, God, you know, if I'm starving right now because, you know, there's nothing on because everything was shut down for such a long time. And I was like, you know, there's some great programs on there. I got to get into it.
Yeah. If you like Beastie Boys, it's a good documentary.
I've told you my one concert experience, though.
Yeah. When you went to Beastie Boys, when you saw Beastie Boys?
Yeah. And I was very disappointed.
Oh, really?
Because I wasn't expecting them just to go total hits.
Right.
Right. But I was expecting, you know, to hear some. They only played one, and then they started into Brass Monkey, which would have been fantastic to see live. Midway through, I don't know if they were hammered. I'm going to assume they were. They forgot the lyrics. I think it was Mike D. Forgot the lyrics, and then just freestyled for like 15 minutes straight.
Oh, see, yeah,
to like no music at all, and I was just like, oh, come on, you know what? You're talented. I get it, but.
No, yeah, this is
Jones and Forrest and Beastie Boys.
It's a different It's a different kind of documentary. It's very much like when Mike Tyson did his story on stage.
Okay,
Yeah, it's Mike Diamond and Adam Horowitz on stage, Ad Rock and Mike D on stage talking. And they're basically talking to an audience about their story, and they've got a screen behind them, and they show pictures. So they talk about how they met and how they built their career, and then how they, you know, the Licensed to Ill and the tour and being young and kind of immature. And then they grew, they were trying to become musicians, and then Paul's Boutique bombed, and then they were still making, you know, records, and their music grew, and they were kind of embarrassed about their youth, because remember they had this, the song Girls.
Yeah,
remember Girls to Do the Dishes, Girls to Clean Up My Room. Yep. They talked
great
about
song.
That they talked about that, how, you know, they were kids and they wrote this song and you know, it was kind of demeaning, and now they're older and they realize, you know, they, how immature they were, and you know, they basically saying, you know, hey, we probably shouldn't have done this, but we were kids. And they had a great line in the documentary where Mike D is saying how MCA was asked in an interview later on, and he said, you know, you're a hypocrite, because they were talking about, you know, hey, let's stop demeaning women in songs. And they were kind of vocal about that as they got older. And one of the reporters said, you know, you're kind of a hypocrite because you wrote this song Girls. And he said, Mike D said that, Ad Rock said into the interview, he said, well, I'd rather be a hypocrite than somebody who's never changed. And I thought that was a good line.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good line. So they talked about that, as they said, look, we were 18, 19 year old kids writing these songs. And now as we've gotten older, they tried to change music. But it's a great documentary. I think you should do it. You should watch it if you're a Beastie Boys fan.
Yes.
All right. So I was talking about Tom Brady, how brilliantly this offseason he navigated, right? And we all know this, right? When he was looking for a landing spot, he didn't just go to some place where he's like, I don't care who the coach is, I just want to go play for this guy or this area of the country or this team because I like this team, or I like this owner.
What, we could probably figure out maybe five teams that wouldn't even have sniffed him.
Right.
You know, Kansas City would have never said,
there's plenty of teams that already locked into their quarterback, so he didn't have free reign to go anywhere he wanted.
There was a list of teams.
Go to San Diego or LA.
Sure.
Chargers, come on.
There were a number of teams that, you know, sort of went, hey, you know what? Our quarterback situation isn't that strong. Maybe he'd consider playing for us. Maybe he'll go to San Francisco. Even though Jimmy Garoppolo had gone to the Super Bowl, maybe he's an upgrade. Who knows, right? I mean, there was still all of those kind of conversations. But he played it brilliantly by going to Tampa, because when you think about it, we are blown away that Brady is in his 14th conference championship. But if you pull back a little bit, it's not really that surprising this year. He's a healthy quarterback. He's not coming off an ACL injury or a knee injury, or he's 43 and trying to come off broken ribs, right? I mean, he was very healthy, kept himself in shape. He went to a team that was already built well, had enough weapons, and then he brought more weapons with him. And Leonard Fournette and Rob Gronkowski, I mean, he brought more weapons with him. Antonio Brown later. So it's, look, and again, what did I say earlier? We never had a passing of the torch in the NFC because nobody really had the torch in the NFC, right? We weren't built. Look, as a Steeler fan, I can tell you how frustrating it is to see the Steelers build a team that was really good, but not Patriots good. Not Patriots good. And the Broncos had a period of time where Peyton Manning and the Broncos were better than the Patriots. But that was a very brief blip on the radar. The mantle wasn't passed over. As soon as Brady, as soon as Manning went to the Super Bowl and lost to Seattle, Brady was right behind him and went there and beat Seattle. As soon, you know, right? I mean,
he couldn't handle it. I'll clean it up for you.
Exactly. As soon as Manning won a Super Bowl, right, won a Super Bowl, Brady turned around and won another Super Bowl in the most historic comeback in Super Bowl history. Like, he was always one-upping the Broncos. Whatever the Broncos did, the Patriots did again, just right off the bat. We never had a passing of the torch to a team until we gave it to Kansas City, right? And now Kansas City holds that mantle of everyone's judged on how you're going. Who, you know, are you Kansas City good? Hey, this Buffalo team is awesome. They got a young quarterback, a great coach. They can do all these things. Nobody in the NFC is like that. Not even Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Not even the Packers. Nobody has taken the, well, obviously you've got a good team, but are you good enough to beat this team? Brady just had to navigate a bad Washington team, a game against Drew Brees and the Saints that was a beatable team, and they did it. And now Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to get to the Super Bowl. He played his offseason brilliantly. He went to the right team in the right conference. That's why he's playing on Sunday.
tonight I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
This is good music this morning on a Throwback Thursday.
Having a little fun.
It is. This is awesome. Super Bowl 13, 1979, we go back to Pittsburgh against Dallas. That game played at the Orange Bowl in Miami. Oh, yeah. Okay, sometimes we do Throwback Thursdays where the music is just great.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those guys that's like, my era's music was best.
No, because technically this really isn't our era.
This isn't really our era. This is just good music that happened to be when I was a very little kid.
Our era's synthesized pianos and
that's
weird
right.
haircuts.
Yeah, one-hit wonders like Kaja Gugu and people like that. Anyway, we were talking about Philip Rivers earlier this hour about his retirement. It came yesterday. It came with like 2 minutes left in the show,
yeah,
right?
It came when you were wrapping up your interview yesterday with Jerry Palm.
That's right. And so we didn't have time to process it. We didn't have time to really expand. Like everybody else got to do it, but we missed out
by having
it come with like 3 minutes left in the show. So now we get
and
to
this is my guy.
This is your guy, and I'm glad we're able to do it now where we've got some time for you to sort of process Philip Rivers.
And make my argument.
Yeah, because listen, I said at the top of the hour that I'm glad that we have a 5-year buffer for sports when it comes to Hall of Fame. Now, some you could throw right in there, but we do want to have a career breathe a little bit, calm down a little bit, really analyze it. Now, sometimes that hurts players, and sometimes it helps.
Like Rivers. It'll probably hurt him.
It probably will, because the NFL – now, just to make this clear, baseball is very numbers driven.
Yes.
Right? If you reach a certain plateau, it doesn't matter. I don't really care how many World Series you won or how many World Series you played in. If you reach certain plateaus in baseball, 300 hits, certain amount of home runs, whatever it is, certain number of wins, that's your ticket in, despite some deficiencies in your resume.
Yeah, you get a free pass.
Yeah, the NFL is very, very tight with they don't just let everybody in, and they debate everybody. And there's been players where you've scratched your head wondering why they are not in the Hall of Fame. And then you go, well, maybe there's a reason.
Do a perfect example, right? I mean, if you really want to look at it, Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson, absolutely. We've been doing that for years with Drew Pearson.
I mean, he's on the all 70s decade team.
Right, right.
And, finally is getting in, but is getting in through what, the veterans exemption or something like that?
Yeah.
He was never voted in by the writers.
And, there's a number of, like, Art Monk took forever to get in. And Floyd Little, when I was in Denver, there was an actual fan campaign that worked to get Floyd Little and his accomplishments, relooked at by the committee in order for him to get in the Hall of Fame. So it's a little tighter to get in. And I do think that the writers and the voters of the Hall of Fame put more emphasis on Super Bowl appearances than other sports do in terms of championships, and especially baseball. And that, I think, will hurt Rivers. But I think there's something about a guy playing at a high level for 17 years. He hardly ever missed a game, if any, right? I mean, he was the Iron Man in San Diego,
LA. He
was.
He's actually second all-time behind Brett Favre.
Right. He just doesn't – I mean, playing in that AFC Championship game on a meniscus tear and a torn ACL, I mean, it's one of the gutsiest performances you'll ever see.
And the other argument that I got to make, because you brought it up earlier, your frustrations as a Steelers fan of – constantly running into that juggernaut that's called Brady and the Patriots.
Right.
Or constantly running into Peyton Manning. So Ben was what? He went to three?
He went to three. Yeah.
During that stretch. I mean, we've talked about that that photo that circulated from like 2003, even up to last year's Super Bowl. From 2003 on, there's only been five quarterbacks represented from the AFC.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And Joe Flacco is that weird anomaly in the middle of it, which we know largely was the defense. And now we can finally add Patrick Mahomes. Other than that, it was three individuals every single year.
Yeah. And the funny thing about Roethlisberger's career is in every Super Bowl appearance that he went through, he didn't run through Brady or the Patriots. They never beat the Patriots in the postseason.
Yeah.
Right? They went to three Super Bowls and somebody else, either the Patriots didn't make the playoffs in 2008 or somebody else took care of New England for the like in the first one was Denver. Denver beat New England, and then the Steelers beat Indianapolis, and then beat Denver to get to the finals. And then in 2010 or 2009, 2010, when they played the Green Bay, they didn't run through New England either. So again, I think it was the year the Jets beat the Patriots in the playoffs and took care of New England
right.
for everybody.
You're right. That's the argument that I think has to be kind of made for Philip Rivers.
Absolutely.
Because honestly, I think if he was in the NFC, he would have gone to at least one.
I do agree with that because, again, as I've been saying all morning, there wasn't the standard bearer for the NFC.
No.
It would be this team for a little bit, then this team for a little bit, like this team for a little bit, then this team for a little bit.
The Eagles were there for a little bit.
And again, remember how dominant like we thought Seattle was going to be. Right?
Yes,
remember that we thought
they were going to make that run.
Remember how Richard Sherman is a half an inch away from Michael Crabtree catching that ball in the end zone from Colin Kaepernick and not going to the Super Bowl. Like the level was there, right? Remember that's when he went to Aaron Andrews and talked trash about because he just tipped it enough, right? Or maybe he tipped it and he made it intercepted, but it could have been disastrous. I mean, that game was close with the 49ers that year. So there wasn't a team that was killing everybody in the NFC for years and years and years, and everybody had to build their team around it. And you're right. In the AFC, it was hard. It was really, really hard to get to the Super Bowl when Brady and Belichick were pretty much going to all of them. And I do think there's going to be consideration on that. But Rivers was – there's something about Rivers that is attractive enough as a player, right? He was confident. He was cocky. He trash-talked. He had fun. He had that – he had a likable hate – to him, right? Like he was the kind of quarterback you didn't like when you played. Like everybody in Denver used to say this about him. I hate that guy, but man, I'd love for him to play here.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like just you wanted to be on his side and you couldn't because he was playing against you, right? Like, do you remember when he played the Colts in the playoffs and he was running off the field? He was just like taunting Colt fans all the way because they were winning. They were beating Manning and the Colts. I think it was the year they went to the AFC title game. He's just taunting them. He doesn't even think twice about it. There's something, the package of Philip Rivers, I think, is attractive enough to be enshrined. That it doesn't need a Super Bowl appearance. Or, forget Super Bowl win, a Super Bowl appearance. I don't think it needs that. His numbers are there. He has been a very good quarterback. He has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league at times in his career, where you would list the best quarterbacks and he would be on it. Because he had a team that was so good in San Diego.
And I also wonder, too, what would have happened had the Chargers not made the bonehead decision to fire Marty Schottenheimer?
Right, sure.
You know, I mean, Marty takes him to 14-2, gets fired for it. I don't know. I mean, it's still to this day, just because he wasn't a yes man. And then you bring in Norv Turner, who is a great offensive coordinator. I will always give him that. He is a great offensive coordinator, just a terrible head coach.
Yeah.
And it was, there was, 6-7 years that were just wasted.
And it's, he goes to Indianapolis for this 1 year, got him to 11-5 in a playoff berth.
Yeah.
And it's just, Brady's 11-5 is a little bit more impressive given his age and the how long he went in the playoffs. But Rivers is not to be overlooked. I mean, that was still, it wasn't flashy. He didn't throw 50 touchdowns or anything amazing like that, but it was good enough to get the Colts into the postseason.
Consistent.
If you're the Colts, I mean, like to lose Andrew Luck, and now Philip Rivers for a year. Where are they going? Are they going with Jacoby Brissett? Are they going to go with someone completely different at quarter? Are they going to pick up the phone and beg Luck to come back into the league? Like, is this retirement thing real?
I kind of hope so. We all miss Captain Andrew Luck.
I do too.
Kind of miss that. No, I've heard this rumor too. What? Maybe they'll pick up the phone and call the Jets.
Maybe so. Yeah.
See what Sam Darnold's
worth. See what Sam Darnold's
really
worth. Yeah.
Because Sam Darnold excelled under Frank Reich.
Yeah.
And I mean, can you imagine him with Frank Reich again? You might have a top-tier quarterback.
He might so. I've tweeted this out.
If I'm Sam Darnold, I'm making that call. Come on.
I tweeted this out last night. For the Titans, if Trevor Lawrence plays right away and Deshaun Watson's traded, they're going to face three different quarterbacks in the division next year.
Yeah.
I would have to do some real research to find if that has that ever happened for a team in the division to wake up one day and every team has got a different quarterback than what you played the previous year.
Right, there's always one that's kind of kicking around, right? There's always one,
one.
You can count on that's still around. But yeah, if Deshaun Watson is traded, I know that's still a big if, but if that happens, listen, Gardner Minshew, Mike Glennon, and the kid from Oregon State who we keep forgetting about. No one is going to start the year while Trevor Lawrence learns the system. Jake Luton. Urban Meyer, if he drafts Trevor Lawrence, is shoving him right into the starting role. There's no quarterback that's an aging Ryan Fitzpatrick veteran that will just hold the ship until the kid is ready. None of those three are going to do it.
Maybe Gardner goes to the Colts.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You know, so you're facing the same guy, just a different uniform.
That's true. Good point.
The tweet that J.J. Watt put out yesterday about Phillip Rivers. He said, I'll never forget lining up for a play and Phil pointing to one of our linebackers and telling him he was lined up wrong based off the blitz we were about to run.
Oh, that's awesome.
And being 100% correct about it.
That's great. Let me tell you what. That takes another level of confidence to do that. There is a confident where you feel like you can beat any team, anywhere, anytime against anyone. And then there's a level of confidence where you could point to the other team and go, you're not in the right spot.
Yeah.
By the way, I know your defense better than you do because I'm really good at my job.
Don't you think Rivers should just get in regardless because of his trash talk? He was able to keep it clean for years.
Absolutely. He was a blast. He was fun. I know, again, I went to a zillion of his games in Denver.
And people hated him.
Oh,
there he is again, running his mouth.
And yet, there was just this underlying respect. Like, God, this guy will tear your heart out. He was, you know. And guess what he's doing? I didn't know this. He's coaching high school football in Alabama.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
No retirement plan.
I saw this yesterday, and I went, "That's amazing." His father was a football coach in Alabama. He is now going to be a football coach. He's at St. Michael Catholic School in Fairhope in Alabama.
Yeah, apparently he always wanted to be a coach. Yeah. The NFL career got in the way.
I must have missed this bit of news, but he had this deal with the school before announcing his retirement. Basically, they held the job for him. He had already agreed to do this. Like, when I quit, I'm coming to Fairhope. And I'm coaching this football team. And they're like, just tell us when you're ready, Phillip Rivers.
God, it must have been hard to hire a coach in the meantime, right? Just knowing, like, hey, as soon as this guy says he's done, you're fired.
Yeah, exactly. You're done. So get your experience in while you can. As soon as this guy's ready, he's jumping right in. Yeah, that's Phillip Rivers. I think in 5 years, I think people will really process his accomplishments. I think he'll get enough votes, but I can't guarantee it. It's such a weird committee.
You know, it's one of those things. I don't know if it's the first time.
It might not be.
It might not be the first time. You know, because let's face it, if Drew Brees retires this year, we know that Drew Brees is going to get in.
Yeah, without question.
Without question. And so Phillip Rivers might have to wait a year.
Eli?
Well, Eli's the year before. So
Eli will go in a year before.
Did Eli retire this year? No, you retired last year.
Last year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I don't know. In 2020.
We shall see. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
It's a throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
1979, Steelers beat the Cowboys Super Bowl 13 on a throwback Thursday. I actually bought Guitar Hero just to do this song. That's all I cared about was this song. My kids wanted it for a bunch of other songs. I was like, does that have Sultans of Swing on it? Because if it does, we're buying it. If it doesn't, you might have to pick out something else. That's how I love this song. I love it. I think if you really want to see a great live version, go to YouTube. It's got a great live version of this song. It's fantastic. I love this throwback Thursday because the Steelers won the Super Bowl and the music is great. Music is just fantastic. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. All right, coming up next hour, we'll talk Green Bay Packers. It's one of the teams we did not do. Look, we talked to Alex Gold in Kansas City. We talked to Nick Caserio in Buffalo. We talked to Pat Donovan, our good friend at WDAE, on the Bucks, and we haven't done the Packers, so Matt Reynoldson is going to join us from WFRV CBS5 to talk Packers and their amazing season with Aaron Rodgers basically shutting everybody up after drafting Jordan Love.
ESPN had a weird stat, or a fun stat, I should say. They were showing quarterbacks the years in between their Super Bowl starts, and John Elway leads the way with 7. But if Aaron Rodgers makes it to the Super Bowl, if he wins Sunday, it'll have been 9 years since he started in the last Super Bowl.
Can I make a statement that I think is kind of silly, but I know people are thinking about? I personally think it's silly, but I know people think about this. Should he have been in more?
I'm thinking.
Right? I mean, I think people always do that. The reason I think it's silly is because it's hard.
It
to
is.
Go to a Super Bowl. It's not just your quarterback's awesome and you automatically get to go.
And that's why we say you may not appreciate it now, but give it 20 years.
Right.
We're all going to sit back and go, man, that Brady Belichick era was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is on top of the list of quarterbacks, right? Man, he's going down as one of the all-time greats, but he's got one. And I think one's enough, to be honest with you. I do. I know how hard it is to get one. But I know people they're so spoiled by what the Patriots have done. They think, well, you probably should have 2 or 3, right? And some people lead into basketball where they're like, well, you got to have like multiple rings in order to be considered one of the greats. Aaron Rodgers, if he loses, will have once again failed to go to another Super Bowl after beating the Steelers in Super Bowl 45.